Welcome to Born on the Saturn, your daily guide to cosmic insight and artistic inspiration. I am Deb, here to walk you through this week's horoscope, shaped by the current planetary movements. Remember to check your sun, rising, and moon sign for a complete view. The universe is speaking. Don't miss it. Here we are, talking about the energies of the last 2 weeks of October, which is my favorite time of the year. As always, I have identified two major themes for this astrological period that I hope can convey what I believe the sky is telling us. If you're wondering, does the sky really speak to us, or does it just go about its business existing without us? Well, here's my answer: yes, it does speak, and we can choose to listen or ignore it. There are also those that would choose to be governed by the stars, and that's a type of deterministic astrology that I don't like, I've never liked, and will never like. The discussion is always the same, and the reflection starts from the simple assumption that if we believe in a destiny already written for us, prepared to be lived without any possibility of a choice or active intervention on our part, then no kind of understanding, questioning, or curiosity would make any sense. If we can do nothing to improve ourselves, to know ourselves, and even to find our path, then what would be the point of knowing, learning, and connecting? Astrology should be a tool, not a sentence. It offers insight, not comments. As we navigate through the last weeks of October, let's use the astrological insights to foster understanding and growth. This period could be a powerful time for transformation if we allow ourselves to question, choose, and actively engage with our destiny. After this intro, let's begin by discussing what I believe to be the first theme of this period, which spans from October 14 to October 31. The first theme is connected to the symbols of Venus, since during this period, the planet we mostly associate with love creates many aspects and it's quite active, let's say. Therefore, the first theme is the verb to love. Regarding this, while reflecting on this theme, I went to refresh my knowledge on the origin of the word, and there are several theories, one of which is less likely but definitely interesting. It comes from a Latin expression that means without death, and it's indeed fascinating to think that the origin of the word love could imply that loving is somehow a way to never die. And here I want to distance myself from the concept of purely romantic love and clarify that with this theme I am referring to the action of loving in an obviously broad sense. When we love, we desire. When we love, we connect with a deeper sense of self, one that has the ability to activate empathy. However, when we love, we also activate our shadow zone, where the most deep-rooted fears, insecurities, and instincts lie. In short, to love is an opportunity to dwell deep and reemerge. On October 14, Venus in Scorpio opposes Uranus in Taurus, and this is the first of this intense aspect that I'm going to talk about today. It is an aspect that must obviously be considered challenging because it is an opposition, and opposition is a dynamic of struggle between two forces without shades, without compromise. It's not just a struggle though, it's really a war. In fact, the dynamics of the forces in an opposition are associated with the planet Mars. If we consider the verb to love with Venus as its main symbol, it will naturally occur to us that during this aspect, love becomes unpredictable. The internal dynamics that are set in motion shake us so much that they led us to desire that unexpected change, perhaps even undesired, but liberating. On top of that, we have to remember that Venus is in Scorpio, which rules the depths. And I also invite you to listen to the episode from the first 2 weeks of October that specifically discussed this theme. So here we are on the second heat axis, which is a particular axis because it's that section of the zodiac where both the concept of possession, even materialistic, and transformation, also passionate, reside. The transformation in this sense occurs through Venus or through love, when we discover part of ourselves through the other. And Venus is the ideal planet, I believe, for this, because through the awareness of value, we can, in other words, get to know ourselves better. But here, this also happens through an opposition that makes everything more electric, unpredictable, and revolutionary. Uranus demands revolution, and Venus, a bit strained by her stay in a sign that demands deep diving, might be fearful. Moreover, Uranus asks us to break balance. Actually, it doesn't ask, it does so without our permission. And here lies the challenge, to manage to love even when balance are broken, or maybe to break them. The second aspect involving Venus will occur on October 15, and this time it will be a particularly fortunate one, a trine. Venus in Scorpio will be in trine with Neptune in Pisces. Here, love becomes empathetic, nurturing, and extremely sensitive, sometimes even overly so. This brings to mind an important point about the positive-negative dichotomy that is often overused in astrology. We are here facing a trine, and it will automatically be seen as an ultra-beneficial and lucky aspect. And if we compare it with the previously analyzed opposition, then we think of that as negative and destructive. However, we must be careful because in this specific case, with the depths of love in Scorpio and the great empathetic capacity of Neptune and Pisces at play, we can surely understand that there is a risk of being so in touch with the other's emotionality that we might feel overwhelmed by it. For example, I, being an Aries, feel more comfortable managing the energies of opposition because the energies of trines are often overwhelming for me. Obviously, this is gonna be different for example, a Neptunian who manages the realm of emotion very well. So, returning to the aspect in question, this trine speaks of loving and connecting with one's own emotion and those of others. It talks about loving even when we are asked to take on emotional baggage that doesn't belong to us, but which, when shared, becomes lighter. It also speaks about the ability to adhere to universal love, which is not exclusively romantic, but becomes not just a specific action, but a way of seeing things. If we look at these two aspects in temporal succession, we can also understand that in a certain sense, a path of growth is outlined, moving from restructuring through the breaking of balance to a deep understanding of one's own and others' feelings. It also tells us that to truly love, we must be somehow open both to breaking and to merging. Shortly after, on October 17, our highly active Venus during this period forms another aspect, this time a softer one, a sextile with Pluto in Capricorn. Speaking of Pluto in Capricorn, I invite you to listen to the latest episode from October if you want to understand more about this brief return to Capricorn. Now, here we are in a dynamic between two planets that is much less intense than the previous two, because the sextile is a more delicate aspect and surely more in tune with the energies of Venus. And here, the symbolic perfection of the astrological circle is fulfilled. Venus in Scorpio, which I remind you, is in a sign where it is naturally in exile and thus not perfectly comfortable, softly meets Pluto, which is the planet of Scorpio. Here, love is truly platonic, thus passionate, authentic, but also visceral. It's a kind of love that compels us to manage the sense of possession and desire, feelings that can either strengthen a relationship or destroy it. Let's not forget Capricorn and its need for structure. Here lies the challenge of this transit, to lose oneself in deep love without losing the sense of self. This balancing act requires integrating the deep transformative energies of Scorpio and Venus with Capricorn's grounded, structured nature, allowing for a passionate yet stable relationship dynamic. Let's continue discussing all these movements and interaction of Venus, and then I promise I'll wrap it up. On October 17, Venus leaves the depths of Scorpio and enters the jovial Sagittarius. Here we are in the winter realm of the fire signs, but there is a little of winter because Sagittarius is anything but cold. Rather, it represents the vastness of snowy winter horizons. In Sagittarius, Venus' expression changes significantly. Basically, we move from a deep, vertical love, at times even delirious, but with great potential to reveal aspects of ourselves, to an expansive, horizontal, but above all, free love. Here we learn to love freely, valuing personal space as well as the space of the feeling. One very helpful thing you can do now is to see in which house Sagittarius falls in your natal chart, and you will understand which area of your life is asking for more space, asking not to be sacrificed in the name of love. This is because loving is not always about sacrifice. Loving is also a choice, but it must also be a value added to our existence. This need to manage one's own space without sacrificing it in the name of love, or what appears to be love but isn't, is intensified when on October 28, Venus in Sagittarius squares Saturn in Pisces. Here, the sensation of having chains will be even more intense, and I believe there is nothing worse than perceiving love as restrictive, especially since we must remember that Sagittarius opens, it doesn't close. These are all the aspects that Venus will form in the last 2 weeks of October, and it seems like quite a few. That's why I think the primary theme of this period is indeed about love, but more than just loving in the narrow sense. It's about learning to love in a healthy, free, aware, and especially evolved way. We learn this by going through various phases, each different from the other, some easy and some difficult. If there are situations that are now very fragile, it's the perfect time to decide whether to heal them or end them. And generally, it's the right moment to look within ourselves and ensure that the love we have welcomed in allow us to flourish, not wilt. This reflection ties well into the second theme of these last 2 weeks of October, which is transformation. The first celestial movement that whispered this, in my opinion, is the Sun, which on October 22 first forms a square while it is still in Libra with Pluto in Capricorn, and then officially enters Scorpio, celebrating the beginning of the darkest season of the solar year. This transition from Libra to Scorpio marks a significant shift in energy. The square with Pluto, the planet of deep transformation and rebirth, intensifies the need for profound change. As the Sun moves into Scorpio, a sign associated with depth, intensity, and regeneration, it pushes us to explore our shadows and confront what lies beneath the surface. I remind you of what I mentioned earlier about one of the possible Latin origins of the word love, which means without death. As we well know, in the absence of something, there is also much presence. And that is one of the symbols of the Scorpio sign and the 8th astrological house. So love and death are two themes often close to each other. We know that love, and I don't just mean romantic love, but more generally the feeling that moves us, drive us, transform us, is also something that never exhausts itself. It's that feeling that allows us to move forward, even when we know that everything has an end. And it is for this reason that, through the way we love, we can decide whether to let something live or die, even if it is a part of ourselves. The transformative power of love can act as a catalyst for personal evolution. In moments of deep emotional engagement, whether in joy or sorrow, love compels us to confront our deepest fear and vulnerabilities. This confrontation can lead to significant personal growth, shedding aspects of our old selves to embrace new realities and possibilities. Thus, love not only connects us to others and the world around us, but also to our own continuous rebirth, mirroring the sickly nature of life itself, where endings give way to fresh beginnings. And this process of rebirth, therefore, of transformation, is facilitated by the season of Scorpio, which is also considered somehow the shaman of the zodiac, because its ability to delve deep, it can become a bridge between human action, Mars, and that of the supernatural, the mysterious, Pluto. I would love to find an effective phrase to summarize how these two major themes of this period, which are love and transformation, can truly accompany us on a journey within ourselves, but it's not easy. I simply invite you to reflect on the Venusian dynamics of your life. Consider how you love and how you are loved. But most importantly, assess whatever the love present in your life is giving birth to something new or causing something to die. Here's the right image to consider. Imagine the love you have in your life as a water. This water can irrigate and so foster life from the earth, or it can potentially drown because it's too much, because it's too hot or too cold, or simply not measured correctly. This analogy encourages you to reflect on how the love in your life is balanced. Are you nurturing growth, or are you overwhelming and stifling potential? As always, I remind you that in this episode, I do not list all the aspects that forms in the sky, but only those that I find relevant to the themes I identify. If you want to stay updated, come visit us on Instagram. Thank you for joining me on Born Under Saturn today. I hope the stars gave you the insight you needed. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more cosmic guidance. And if you want to connect or have any questions, find me on Instagram or visit burnandesaturn.com. Until next time, keep shining under the stars.